Live from the historic parsonage of the 19th century gospel minister George Norcross in downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, it's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27, verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now, here's your host, Chris Arnzen.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth who are listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnzen, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Monday on the 15th day of March, 2021. And I realize now with this cold that I have, hearing my own voice in my headphones, I should have introduced myself as Steve Brown, filling in for Chris Arnzen. I don't know if anybody of you know Steve Brown, a reformed professor and radio host, but I think I sound exactly like him right now. But I am thrilled to have back on the program Justin Peters, one of my dear friends in ministry and also one of my very favorite guests to interview. He is an evangelist, a conference speaker, and founder of Justin Peters Ministries. He's also going to be one of the speakers at the upcoming G3 conference in late September, early October in Atlanta, Georgia, where I will be manning once again an exhibitor's booth. And today, Justin and I are going to be discussing Rome, the Charismatic Movement. I'm sorry, I said that wrong. Rome and the Charismatic Movement, the Signs and Wonders Connection, and their denial of the sufficiency of Scripture. And it's my honor and privilege to welcome you back to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Justin Peters.
Hey, Chris. It's always a pleasure and an honor to be with you, brother. Thank you so much.
Tell our listeners about Justin Peters Ministries.
Sure, Chris. Well, I am an evangelist. I sometimes hesitate to call myself an evangelist because you automatically think of the televangelists, the very people that I'm known for critiquing and calling out as the false prophets and charlatans that they are. But hopefully, Lord willing, I am a biblical evangelist. I travel and preach and teach in churches and across the United States and internationally. My first commitment is to expositional preaching, preaching the Word of God verse by verse and exposing the meaning of the text. And I also do a lot of work in apologetics and polemics. I'm most known for exposing the unbiblical nature of the Word of Faith movement, the Health and Wealth Gospel, Benny Hinn, Kenneth Copeland, Joel Osteen, Creflo Dollar, Joyce Meyer, most of the people, Joseph Prince, most of the people that you see on television that say it's always God's will to be wealthy, it's always God's will to be physically healed, and I expose that movement for the farce that it is. So that's it in a nutshell.
Well, if anybody wants to find out more about Justin Peters Ministries, you could go to justinpeters.org, justinpeters.org, and I'm sure we will hopefully we'll remember to announce that later on in the program as well. Well, this program might have some folks scratching their heads, either those that are Roman Catholic or those that are charismatic, perhaps even especially charismatics who used to be Roman Catholic, when we would dare to make an association between the two. As I said at the outset, our theme today is Rome and the Charismatic Movement, the Signs and Wonders Connection, and their denial of the sufficiency of Scripture. Well, some people may be scratching their heads because your average Roman Catholic church, parish, if you were to visit that, and I would highly advise that nobody does, I do visit Roman Catholic churches when I am attending a wedding or a funeral, and I know that some of my dear friends that I know, especially, it seems, those who were formerly Roman Catholic, do not even do that, but I believe I have liberty to do that as long as I don't participate in any of the idolatrous ceremonies and rites that are taking place. I'm there as an observer. And for the same reason, I would go to a synagogue if a Jewish friend died, or a mosque if a Muslim friend died, or an apostate liberal mainline Protestant church if someone who belonged to that church died. So, but anyway, if you visit a typical local Roman Catholic parish, unless it is a part of the Charismatic Catholic Renewal, or the Charismatic Catholic Movement, you will likely see something or an experience something, witness something that is a polar opposite worship service to what you would find in a typical Charismatic or Pentecostal church. Typically, Roman Catholic worship services are very structured, they're very stoic and somber. They are very quiet, other than the sound of bells and the priest speaking. They are very predictable and repetitive, and I can remember as a Catholic growing up finding them painfully boring. Most of the services, which tend to last about 45 minutes, are elements of the rite of the Mass, and you typically have a very short sermon that they call a homily that I don't think that they typically last more than 5 or 10 minutes at the most. And that, obviously, the contents of those homilies will differ from parish to parish depending upon who the parish priest is. And then, of course, you go to a charismatic church, and very often, most often, it is far from any of those things. They're far from structured. They're far from liturgical in the sense of a Roman Catholic church. They're far from stoic. They're very energetic, lively. People are usually expressing great joy and so on. And not that we are opposed to those things, Justin and I, as far as joy and enjoying new life in Christ and celebrating what God has done for us. But at the same time, there are connections between Rome and the charismatic movement, and that would include the signs and wonders connection and, as I said, their denial of the sufficiency of Scripture. What would you like to comment about my opening description of our theme today?
Yeah, Chris, Roman Catholicism is treated by most evangelicals, unfortunately, as just another denomination, and it's not. Roman Catholicism is diametrically opposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is literally anathematized. Salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, Council of Trent. And so it's literally anathematized the gospel. In other words, if you believe that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, you are anathema. You are damned and will go to hell. So it's not just another denomination, but what we're going to be talking about today are the striking similarities between Roman Catholicism and the Word of Faith movement, the charismatic movement in general. And I'd like us to talk about a few different areas, but absolutely the denial of the sufficiency of Scripture. Some of the overlaps here between Word of Faith and Roman Catholicism, they both have very aberrant views of the atonement, the work of Christ on the cross, very heretical views of the atonement. They both have an emphasis on signs and wonders. They both teach the little gods doctrine, interestingly enough. A lot of people don't realize that. Maybe we could explore that a little bit. But they both teach that you are, if you are in Christ, you are a god. And also, they both have an extra source of authority other than Scripture. And that's kind of where we're going to plant for most of our time, I think, is that they have an extra source of authority outside of the Scripture. For the Word of Faith folks, it is dreams and visions, trips to heaven. You know, God spoke to me and He gave me this revelation. God gave me a dream. He gave me a vision. God took me to heaven. All these kinds of things that are standard fare in the Word of Faith movement. And for the Roman Catholic Church, it is the magisterium. And the magisterium is the Roman Catholic teaching that authority is vested, the authority to rightly interpret Scripture is vested solely with the Pope and the Roman Catholic bishops. And they believe that church tradition is also used to interpret Scripture. So the real authority to interpret rests with the Pope, their bishops, and church tradition. And they use these things to interpret Scripture. So in other words, they really deny the priesthood of the believer. They don't believe that you as a believer have the ability to rightly interpret Scripture on your own. And I tell people that really all you need to know about the Roman Catholic Church is that for its entire history, the entire history of the Roman Catholic Church is one of it doing its dead level best to keep the Word of God out of the hands of everyday people. So they both have a source of authority outside of Scripture. And that's the real commonality between Word of Faith and the Roman Catholic Church. They deny the sufficiency of Scripture. It's Scripture that they won't deny Scripture itself. They're not going to say, well, the Bible's not the Word of God. It's not that kind of denial. But they'll say the Bible is the Word of God plus this. The Bible
yes.
is the Word of God plus Apocrypha.
And the difference...
The Bible is... Yeah.
Go ahead. No, keep going.
Yeah, and so the Bible is the Word of God, but we also have to have church tradition. That's authoritative, too. Papal bulls, when the Pope speaks ex cathedra out of his chair, whatever the Pope says, that's infallible. And so that's our authority. Church tradition is our authority. The bishops and the Pope and their interpretation of Scripture, that's authoritative. The Apocrypha, they also believe the Apocrypha. It's a collection of 11 books outside of the canonical books that they also believe are inspired and authoritative. And so, never mind that the Apocrypha has some truly bizarre teachings, like the Book of Tobit teaches that if you put a fish heart, like the heart of a fish, literally on coals, it can forgive sins for the dead or something. Like, this is bizarre kind of stuff. But they believe that all of this is authoritative just as much as Scripture is. So it's not that they're going to say, no, the Bible's not the Word of God, but they're going to say, yeah, the Bible plus all these other things.
Yes.
Denial of the sufficiency of Scripture.
And even though we would, I think, rightly say and observe that both the Church of Rome and the Charismatic movement deny the sufficiency of Scripture, only the Roman Catholic Church actually admits it. They would admit, especially their scholars and theologians and apologists will be right in the forefront of enthusiastically denying the formal sufficiency of Scripture. Whereas charismatics, I think that you would be hard-pressed to find a charismatic or Pentecostal or a non-cessationist actually saying or writing in words, I deny the sufficiency of the Scripture. That would be a difference there, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it would. It would. And, you know, the charismatics would say, Word of Faith, they would say, yes, the Bible is the Word of God. In any dream or vision or word that you think God has spoken to you, if it contradicts Scripture, it must be rejected. Well, yes, of course, but they're also going to say, if your dream or vision is in congruence with the Word of God, then that's authoritative. And it simply cannot be true. And they try to strike a middle ground, Chris. They try to say, well, yeah, it is authoritative. As long as what you hear from God aligns with Scripture, it is authoritative, but doesn't rise to the same level of authority as Scripture. And, of course, my question is, well, how is that possible? I mean, God cannot speak less authoritatively on one occasion than he does on another. If God is speaking, God is speaking, and whatever he says should carry just as much authority as any verse in the Bible. It's not like God can speak in the Bible and really, really, really mean it, but when he speaks to us outside of the Bible, he still means it, but not as much as he meant it in the Bible. It's almost like he has his anthropomorphic fingers crossed. Yeah, I mean it, but just not quite as much as I meant what I said in Scripture. So, I mean, it's a hopelessly incongruous position to have. It's illogical. But the Bible is not enough. It's not enough for Word of Faith adherents, and it's not enough for Roman Catholics. And that is truly a common ground. There's a lot of overlap between Word of Faith and Roman Catholicism.
Yes, and another difference, not that all charismatic churches perform or conduct healing services. Some do not, although they believe in a modern-day gift of healing. And some Pentecostal churches, I remember, unless they were doing it at some other time during their service, I don't remember Jimmy Swaggart healing people, at least not in mass like Benny Hinn pretends to be doing. But your average Catholic going to a mass would not necessarily, unless he was once again at a charismatic Catholic parish which actually conducted healing services, they're not going to be typically seeing claims of the miraculous. They're not going to see people getting up out of wheelchairs and dancing and stuff like that. But they hear about these types of things typically in faraway places. They hear about it in Lourdes, France. They hear about the Marian apparitions, the so-called manifestations of Mary in different parts of the world, some of which have taken place recently, but the ones that are more bona fide in the Church of Rome were those that took place earlier in the 20th century and before. So there's another difference that we have to clarify because of the confusion that some Catholics may have hearing this comparison. And also there does exist a considerable movement of conservative Roman Catholics that are opposed to the charismatic movement within the Church of Rome. So, but a lot of this, a lot of this is because the Catholic Church, along with charismatics, they seem to demand things that appeal to the senses, do they not? Even though, as I've already been saying, you have a stark contrast between the stoic and formal and rigidly structured Roman Catholic Mass and sometimes a wild and out of control charismatic service, giving an extreme example, even though those are polar opposites, you have in the Catholic worship services things like candles and the smell of incense and the sound of bells, and, you know, these are things that are sensory driven. They're meant to appeal to the senses. They're meant to make this event more religious. And on one hand, I can appreciate the fact that Catholics, even though I am not an ecumenist and I believe they have a false gospel, I can appreciate an attempt, an effort to not trivialize what a worship service is, as many evangelical churches have done, even those that are not charismatic. There is a growing appeal or popularity of flippancy. There is a growing popularity of just making everybody feeling warm, cozy, and wonderful, and bubbly, and joyful, an absence of any comment or mention of sin and hell, if you follow what I'm saying. Don't you think that appeal to the senses is something that exists very much so in both segments of the word, of the signs and wonders connection here?
Yes, Chris, you're right. They both appeal to the senses, and they both appeal to the experiential, but they do it in different ways. You're right. With Roman Catholicism, the services are typically very somber, very stoic, as you said. There's no, you know, outward speaking in tongues or hooping and hollering and jumping pews or anything like that. It's the opposite of that. But there's a lot of bells, there's a lot of incense, and a lot of genuflection. You know, you kneel down and you make the sign of the cross and you repeat mantras, and so it engages your senses, undoubtedly. The Word of Faith movement, charismatic churches do the same thing, but with them it's the more exuberant manifestations of the so-called, quote-unquote, spirit, which is not the Holy Spirit, maybe a spirit, but it's not the Holy Spirit, but, you know, running around in circles and getting slain in the spirit and speaking in tongues and shaking and vibrating and flopping around on the floor like a fish and that kind of stuff. And, so they both appeal to the experiential, but they do it in different ways. The Roman Catholic Church does, however, have, in many respects, an emphasis on healing, but differently than the Word of Faith movement does. As you mentioned, Lourdes in France, there's, to this day, there are claims of miracles coming out of Lourdes, but they're not real. There's the Marian apparitions that you mentioned as well. In fact, whenever we want to work it in, I've got some quotes from Mary that is things that she has said in these apparitions. And there's another common element between Roman Catholicism and Word of Faith. It's very common for Word of Faith folks to claim that Jesus appeared to them, or an angel appeared to them. An angel showed up in my bedroom. He was standing at the foot of my bed. An angel was sitting on my dresser. Jesus showed up to me and taught me how to play the clarinet. That's not hyperbole, by the way. That's there's this guy named Kevin Sadai on Sid Raw. He's a frequent guest on Sid Raw's program, and claims that Jesus, he taught him how to play the clarinet, flute, oboe, or whatever, some number of instruments. And I had a lady one time tell me, my wife and I were having lunch with her, and she claims that Jesus showed up and helped her to hook up her horse trailer in Texas one day. So they get these visions of Jesus and angels, and the Roman Catholic Church has their version of that as well. Specifically, Mary shows up to people in Guadalupe and in Lourdes, France, and, you know, from time to time you hear claims of Mary. There's an image of Mary burned in my toast. You know, an angel, Mary's image showed up in a window or something like that. It's very, very common within Roman Catholicism. So the same basic claims, they're just packaged differently for different audiences.
Yes, and there's more to be said about even some of what we already said, and we will move on to some other things. Like, I definitely want you to give us some of these quotes that you have that allegedly came from the lips of Mary, the mother of Jesus.
Yeah.
And if anybody would like to join us with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. And only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. Don't go away. We'll be right back with Justin Peters on Rome and the Charismatic Movement, the Signs and Wonders Connection, and their denial of the sufficiency of Scripture.
Hello, dear ones. My name is Justin Peters, and my friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are frequently blessed to share great times of fellowship with one another at conferences all over the United States. We'll both be enjoying more fellowship together at the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October the 2nd, on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be speaking there along with over 20 other speakers, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Vody Balcom, Joel Beakey, and James White. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Please join Chris Arnzen and me September 30th through October the 2nd at G3 2021. This is Justin Peters reminding you that Christ is supreme over all. Fellowshipping with the
Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, announcing a new website with an exciting offer from World Magazine, my trusted source for news from a Christian perspective. Try World now at no charge for 90 days by going to getworldnow.com. That's getworldnow.com. I rely on World because I trust the reporting. I gain insight from the analysis, and World provides clarity to the news stories that really matter. I believe you'll also find World to be an invaluable resource to better understand critical topics with a depth that's simply not found in other media outlets. Armed with this coverage, World can help you to be a voice of wisdom in your family and your community. This trial includes bi-weekly issues of World Magazine, on-scene reporting from World Radio, and the fully shareable content of World Digital. There's no obligation and no credit card required. Visit GetWorldNow.com today. Also check out World News Group's podcast, The World and Everything in It, at WNG.org/podcast. That's W for World, N for News, G for Group, .org/podcast.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com. Yeah.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
Was your business shut down during the COVID-19 pandemic, depriving you of earning any money, causing you to default on your rent as you try to survive without income? Maybe you've had to close your doors for good. The good news, you thought, was that you purchased business interruption insurance as a part of your business liability policy with a major insurance company who told you they are a good neighbor, or that you would be in good hands. You filed a claim only to be told that it was denied due to the pandemic exclusion clause. The pandemic exclusion? Since 2006, most insurance companies added this clause to enable them to deny your income loss claims in the event of a worldwide pandemic. Do not give up. No matter what state you live in, call Buttafuoco & Associates now at 1-800-669-4878. Buttafuoco & Associates is a part of a large multi-district litigation, and they are working with lead counsel to bring what they believe will be a successful lawsuit for these claims. It is the best way for you to proceed. There's absolutely no risk to you. You do not have to pay them out of pocket, and there is no fee unless you recover on your claim. You need to call 1-800-669-4878 right now. Trust the law firm where the attorneys at one of the largest business firms on Long Island, New York, are sending their own clients for representation during this lawsuit. Buttafuoco & Associates, here to help business owners rebuild their lives in the wake of the pandemic. Call 1-800-669-4878.
Getting a driver's license, running a cash register, flipping burgers, passing sixth grade. Do you know what they all have in common? They all require training, assessments, and certifications. But do you know what requires no training at all? Becoming a parent. My name is A.M. Brewster. I'm the president of Truth, Love, Parent, and host of its award-winning podcast. I've been a biblical family counselor since the early 2000s, and what I've discovered is that the majority of Christian parents have never been biblically equipped to do the work of the ministry in their homes. That's why Truth, Love, Parent exists. We serve God by equipping dads and moms to be the ambassador parents God called and created them to be. We produce free parenting resources, train church leaders, and offer biblical counseling so that the next generation of dads and moms can use the scriptures to parent their children for life and godliness. Please visit us at truthloveparent.com.
Welcome back. This is Chris Arnzen. If you just tuned us in, our guest today is my dear friend Justin Peters of Justin Peters Ministries. We are addressing Rome and the charismatic movement, the signs and wonders connection, and their denial of the sufficiency of Scripture. And we are, God willing, being momentarily joined by Andrew Rappaport, our mutual friend, who will co-host with me. He is the founder of strivingforeternity.org. Has Andrew joined us yet?
Yes, I have. Thank you very much, Chris, for letting me be here.
It's great. And if you're using packing tape or something right now as you're moving your offices or something, please stop doing that because we can hear. I hear something weird going on in the background. But anyway, I'd like Justin, if you could, to give us some of these Marian quotes, these alleged quotes of Mary from various Marian apparitions that you wanted to reveal to our audience.
Yeah, Chris, and just in case we ask any listeners, we were talking about the commonality between the Word of Faith movement and Roman Catholicism, and how Word of Faith adherents claim they get visions of Jesus or angels. Usually it's related or relegated to that, either Jesus or angels. And Roman Catholics get visions of Mary, and there's been a number of notable Marian apparitions. The first most notable one, anyway, was back in 1531 in Guadalupe, Mexico. Mary allegedly appeared to a man named Juan Diego on four different occasions, three in one location and one in a different one, but anyway, Mary, this, you know, quote-unquote Mary, appeared to Juan Diego, and she says this, quote, "No, no, for sure, my dearest, littlest, and youngest son, that I am the perfect and ever-virgin Holy Mary." Okay, that's loaded with issues.
Wow.
Right there. one thing, I'm not Mary's son. I'm not Mary's son. So Mary's children are long gone. So I'm not Mary's son. But she says that I am perfect. There is only one who is perfect, and that is God. And so this quote-unquote Mary that appeared to Juan Diego is claiming deity, is what she's doing. Claiming deity. So this was not the real Mary. It very well may have been a demon. And we know from Scripture, 2 Corinthians 11, that Satan disguises himself how? As an angel of light. So this Mary thing that appeared to Juan Diego is claiming to be deity. And she says that she is the ever-virgin Holy Mary. And that's a staple doctrine in Roman Catholicism, that Mary remained a perpetual virgin, that she never had sexual relations with her husband Joseph, and that's just patently not true. Jesus was conceived in Mary when she was a virgin, but after Jesus was born, Mary and Joseph had other children the old-fashioned way. Jesus had siblings. It's very clear from Scripture he had siblings. James, for example, who wrote the book that bears his name, was Jesus' half-brother. So it's just patently untrue. And then she says this, too, quote, "I am your truly merciful mother." yours and all the people who live united in this land, and of all the other people of different ancestries, my lovers who love me, those who seek me, those who trust in me, here I will hear their weeping, their complaints, and heal all their sorrows, hardships, and sufferings. So this Mary is appearing and asking people, telling people to trust not in Jesus, but to trust in her. And then she says further, another quote, quote, am I not here, I who am your mother? Are you not under my shadow and protection? Am I not the source of your joy? Are you not in the hollow of my mantle, in the crossing of my arms? Do you need anything more? That is blasphemy. And yet, the Roman Catholic Church has canonized this Juan Diego because of these apparitions. Two possibilities here, Chris. Juan Diego either just made it up, you know, Mary, he never saw anything, just made it up out of it. It's just a product of his own vain imaginations. Or, if he did see something, he saw either a demon or Satan himself, disguising himself as an angel of light, because this was not the real Mary. I mean, this Mary is saying things and ascribing to herself abilities and attributes that can only rest with God. Are you not under my shadow and protection? Well, no, Mary, actually I'm not under your shadow and protection. I'm under the protection of God. And she says, am I not the source of your joy? No, Mary, you're not the source of my joy. Christ is the source of my joy. She is elevating herself to deific status, to the same status as that of Jesus Christ. It is utter blasphemy, and yet the Roman Catholic Church to this day holds up these Marian apparitions of Guadalupe back in 1531 as canonical. They affirm this. And Catholics will tell you that, oh, we don't worship Mary. And they know that that's one of the common objections that evangelicals have towards Roman Catholicism. And they'll say, well, evangelicals say that we worship Mary. No, we don't worship Mary. Well, yeah, you do, actually. You absolutely worship Mary because you believe that she is the source of our joy. In fact, Roman Catholicism holds that Mary is the totally redemptrix with Jesus, that she is a mediator just as Jesus was and is. They pray to Mary. Prayer is an act of worship. That's what prayer is. It's an act of worship. And so whomever it is to whom you are praying, you are ascribing to that individual worship. And they don't just pray to Mary, by the way. They pray to a whole lot of other saints as well. They have a whole pantheon of saints that they pray to. It's paganism. It is a baptized version of Roman paganism. Roman paganism had their own pantheon of gods. And Roman Catholicism took that principle and just kind of baptized it, if you will, to use that term, Christianized it. In made this whole doctrine of this pantheon of saints that we pray to. And so it's Roman paganism wrapped in a bit of a Christian veneer.
Yeah, I guess a similarity between what you just read, those very blasphemous heretical words that were placed in the mouth of Mary, never came from her mouth in reality.
No.
The similarity where you would find something anywhere or anything remotely similar in the charismatic world would be in the Word of Faith movement, where Kenneth Copeland actually claimed that God, the Father, told him that he could have died for the sins of mankind. Do you recall that?
That's right.
Do you recall that?
Absolutely. Yeah, and I don't have it where it's queued up for us to play, but yes, Kenneth Copeland claims that Jesus appeared to him and said, and I just have it memorized because I presented it.
So it was Jesus, not the Father.
Yes, Jesus.
Okay.
Jesus appeared to Kenneth Copeland and said, quote, don't be disturbed when people accuse you of thinking you are God. They crucified me for claiming that I was God, but I didn't claim I was God. I just claimed I walked with him. He was in me. Hallelujah. That's what you are doing. That's one statement from Jesus to Kenneth Copeland. On another occasion, Kenneth Copeland said that Jesus said, if you knew who you were, you could have done the same thing in the context of this, referring to the atonement. You could have done the same thing because you are a reborn man too. In other words, Kenneth Copeland, if he just realized who he was, he could atone for sins.
And they also not only are escalating, elevating Kenneth Copeland, or he, I should say, Kenneth Copeland is elevating himself in a very blasphemous and heretical way. He is diminishing Christ, because the Word of Faith movement actually teaches that Jesus Christ needed to be born again, and he was born again in hell after he died, correct?
Correct. Yes, that is absolutely correct. Word of Faith movement holds that the atonement of our sins did not take place on the cross. When Jesus died on the cross, the work of the atonement had not been completed. It had just begun. And when Jesus died on the cross, then he went to hell. He suffered, was tortured, tormented by the demons and Satan himself, died a spiritual death, ceased to be God, and had to be reborn. That Jesus actually got saved in hell, and that's where the atonement of our sins took place. Not on the cross, but down in hell. And so it's a blasphemous view of the atonement.
And Andrew Rappaport, do you have any questions before we go to our midway break?
Yeah. I mean, it sounds, Justin, like the claims that they're making of Mary sound very similar to what we see in Word of Faith with the little God doctrine. And I think that's what Chris was getting to. But maybe you could help folks understand what that little God's doctrine is.
Yeah, absolutely. So the Word of Faith movement holds that if you are a Christian, then you are a little God. You have the ability to speak things into existence, and that you are entitled to health and wealth because you're God, and a God cannot be born, and God certainly cannot be sick. So when you become a Christian, you actually become a little God. Interestingly, a lot of people don't know this, but Roman Catholicism teaches basically the same thing. They also believe and teach that when you become a Catholic and you're baptized, because baptism is what makes your salvation real and secures it. It's your baptism of the Catholic Church. But when that happens, you become a God. And I imagine if there's any Catholics listening right now, you're probably banging on your window and saying, no, we don't. Well, the thing is a lot of Catholics don't really know what the Roman Catholic Church teaches. I'm going to read this to you from the Catechism of the Catholic Church. This is official Roman Catholic doctrine. Catechism of the Catholic Church, paragraph 460, if you would like to look it up, says this, quote, "For the Son of God became man so that we might become God. The only begotten Son of God, wanting to make us sharers in his divinity, assumed our nature so that he, made man, might make men gods," end quote.
Wow, you know, I was raised Roman Catholic and arranged many Roman Catholic versus evangelical Protestant debates, and for some reason that never came up.
I mean, that's right out of Mormonism. You know, I mean, that's the exact teaching that we see within Mormonism as well. And actually, Justin, I mean, maybe you could speak to this briefly, but this is really rooted back in the garden. This all comes from what happened in Genesis chapter 3 with the serpent and Eve. And that maybe that's why we see it in so many different false religions. But maybe you want to speak to, you know, the fact that this is what the serpent promised Eve, is that she could be like God.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Andrew. This goes back to the fall of man back in the Garden of Eden, the desire to be just like God. That's what led to the whole fallen state in the first place. And yet the faith preachers, Word of Faith, and Roman Catholicism teaches it as truth. The very thing that led to the whole fallen state in the first place. So you talk about a tragic irony. They are holding up as truth the very thing that led to the fall in the first place. So, it is truly this little God's doctrine that is taught by both Word of Faith and Roman Catholicism is truly and quite literally a doctrine of demons.
Now,
doctrine of demons born out of the bowels of hell itself.
Now, we have to, I think, give another clarification because people may be tuning in late and didn't hear my other clarification or my caveat. Number one, I believe all three men here believe that there will be charismatics and Catholics in heaven with us, especially when you're speaking of Catholics, those that actually believe the true gospel in spite of the damning gospel that is dogmatically taught in the Church of Rome, because there are Catholics that do not follow in lockstep with the dogmas of Rome, sometimes for better, sometimes for worse. And also, we are not lumping charismatics all in the same lump. I have had charismatics as guests on the show where I was affirming everything that they were saying. Maybe they were talking about a specific book they wrote that I believed in from cover to cover. So I want to make it clear that we're not saying that all folks who are charismatic and all folks who are claimed to be Catholic are going to hell. And we're also not saying all charismatics believe in what the Word of Faith heretics we are quoting, or that Justin is quoting, not all Catholics believe some of the very bizarre things that their so-called saints have said. And so you're also going to have moments during the show where charismatics are in polar opposition to Catholic teaching that is cited, and vice versa. You're going to have Catholics being very opposed to things they hear from the other side of this equation, the Rome and the charismatic movement, the signs and wonders connection. But we have to go to our midway break right now. It's a longer than normal break. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the information as you can for as many of our advertisers as you can so that you can more frequently and successfully patronize them, even if that just means contacting them through the information they provide in their ads and saying, hey, thank you so much for sponsoring Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. If you can't purchase products or use services or visit churches that are advertised, at least thank them for sponsoring the show. And also use this time to write down questions for Justin Peters and send them to chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. We will continue our discussion on Rome and the charismatic movement, the signs and wonders connection, right after these messages from our sponsors.
I'm James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. My friend Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I are headed down to Atlanta, Georgia once again for the G3 Conference. This year's G3 will be held Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd on the theme, Christ is Supreme Over All. I'll be joined by over 20 other speakers and musicians to lead in the worship of God through preaching, teaching, and singing, including John MacArthur, Phil Johnson, Conrad Mbewe, Daryl Bernard Harrison, and Virgil Walker. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G321. This is James White reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000.
That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S, drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Greetings in the matchless name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Banu Gaddy. I'm a pharmacist in New York, which is the epicenter of the latest crisis the world is going through. In Psalm 139, verse 14, the psalmist offers praise to the Lord like this. I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made, and wondrous are your works that my soul knows very well. He saw God's goodness and mercy, kindness, and the beauty in what God has designed, and he has erupted into praise. In any crisis or problem, brothers and sisters, our only fallback position is to trust God's design. And once we do, there is nothing for us to do but to erupt in praise to him. When the whole world is searching for a solution, God, in his infinite mercy, has given us what we need to address this illness, which can be very serious. Such is the beauty of his design. Knowing that design, how can we not erupt in praise to our great God like the psalmist did? May God bless you and give all of us wisdom to see greater things in his design. Thank you.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnson has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reform Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Iron Sharpens Iron Radio depends upon the financial support of fine Christian organizations to remain on the air, like the Historical Bible Society. The Historical Bible Society maintains a collection of Christian books, manuscripts, and Bibles of historical significance spanning nearly 1,000 years. The mission of HBS is the preservation and public display of ancient scripture, dissemination of scripture, to provide tools equipping believers in Christian apologetics with evidence for the Bible's reliability, and to introduce Reformation literature and Christian art to a broader audience. Since 2004, HBS has toured schools and churches throughout the Northeast United States, reaching thousands of believers and non-believers alike who are hungry for knowledge of the Bible. HBS's founder, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, is committed to sharing this collection along with an inspirational historical message that will captivate you and your church. Come journey through their website, historicalbiblesociety.org. The collection includes a complete 11th century Bible, an actual page of the Gutenberg Bible from 1455, the first book ever printed, the Geneva Bible, the 1611 King James Bible, and much, much more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org today. Thank you, Daniel P. Buttafuoco, attorney at law, for your faithful support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
The This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasso wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Here's what Gary DeMar, president of American Vision, had to say about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio recently.
Good to be back, Chris. I always enjoy our time. I have to say you're one of the better interviewers out there, and I've been doing this for more than 30 years.
Wow, that's some compliment. How much do I owe you for that?
you don't have to owe me anything. So we're in good shape.
I'm glad you said it on the air, so I don't have to brag about myself.
Tell your friends and loved ones about Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, airing live Monday through Friday, 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Time at ironsharpensironradio.com.
Today at thousands of community centers, high schools, middle schools, juvenile institutions, coffee shops, and local hangouts, Long Island Youth for Christ, staff and volunteers meet with young people who need Jesus. We are rural and urban, and we are always about the message of Jesus. Our mission is to have a noticeable spiritual impact on Long Island, New York, by engaging young people in the lifelong journey of following Christ. Long Island Youth for Christ has been a stalwart bedrock ministry since 1959. We have a world-class staff and a proven track record of bringing consistent love and encouragement to youths in need all over the country and around the world. Help honor our history by becoming a part of our future. Volunteer, donate, pray, or all of the above. For details, call Long Island Youth for Christ at 631-385-8333. That's 631-385-8333. Or visit liyfc.org. That's liyfc.org.
Hi, I'm Buzz Taylor. Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a longtime partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. Unlike other book sites, they make no effort to provide every book that is available or popular because, frankly, much of what is being printed is not worth your time. That means you can get to the good stuff faster. It also means you don't have to worry about being assaulted by the pornographic, heretical, and otherwise faith-insulting materials promoted by the secular book vendors. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 1-800-656-0231. That's 1-800-656-0231. Please let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Hi, this is John Sampson, pastor of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, taking a moment of your day to talk about Chris Arnzen and the Iron Sharpens Iron podcast. I consider Chris a true friend and a man of high integrity. He's a skilled interviewer who's not afraid to ask the big, penetrating questions while always defending the key doctrines of the Christian faith. I've always been happy to point people to this podcast, knowing it's one of the very few safe places on the internet where folk won't be led astray. I believe this podcast needs to be heard far and wide. This is a day of great spiritual compromise, and yet God has raised Chris up for just such a time. And knowing this, it's up to us as members of the body of Christ to stand with such a ministry in prayer and in finances. I'm pleased to do so and would like to ask you to prayerfully consider joining me in supporting Iron Sharpens Iron financially. Would you consider sending either a one-time gift or even becoming a regular monthly partner with this ministry? I know it would be a huge encouragement to Chris if you would. All the details can be found at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can click support. That's ironsharpensironradio.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Pastor Nate Pickowitz of Harvest Bible Church in Gilmanton Ironworks, New Hampshire, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rich Jensen of Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Sule Prince of Oakwood Wesleyan Church in Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor John Sampson of King's Church in Peoria, Arizona, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck Volo of New Life Community Church in Kingsville, Maryland, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Steve Herford of Eastport Baptist Church in Jacksonville, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Roy Owens, Jr. of the Church at Friendship in Hockley, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And please don't forget, folks, that every time you purchase books from solid-ground-books.com, you are helping Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to remain on the air, because they are a primary, a premier, a vital sponsor of this program. So make sure every time you go to solid-ground-books.com and you make a purchase, you tell them that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Justin Peters and Andrew Rappaport for our discussion on Rome and the Charismatic Movement, the Signs and Wonders Connection, and their denial of the sufficiency of Scripture, I have a couple of important announcements to make. First of all, if you love this show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You could donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. If you prefer snail mail using the United States Postal Service and mailing in a check the old-fashioned way, made out to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, well, a physical address will appear on the screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, so you can mail checks there as well. You can also advertise with us as long as whatever it is you're promoting is compatible with what we believe. Just send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. And also, folks, please remember, I don't want people siphoning money away from the regular giving that they're accustomed to their own church where they are a member, in order to give to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Please don't do that. And please don't put your family in further financial jeopardy if you are really struggling to survive right now. Those two things are commands of God in Scripture, providing for your church and your family. Providing for my radio show is not a command of God, obviously. But if you love the show and you don't want it to disappear from the airwaves, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now, and donate frequently, and donate generously. And also, folks, if you are not a member of a local Bible-believing church, no matter where on the planet Earth you live, I may be able to help you find a good church that is faithful to the Scriptures. I've helped many people in our audience find good, theologically sound, biblically faithful churches in all parts of the world, and you may be one of them. Send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's chrisarnson@gmail.com and "I need a church" in the subject line. It's also the email address where you could send in a question to Justin Peters on our theme today, Rome and the Charismatic Movement, the Signs and Wonders Connection. And before we go back to our discussion, Justin, I am thrilled that once again the G3 conference is advertising on my show. I'm thrilled that I will be manning an exhibitor's booth for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio there again. And you are one of the speakers there. I am so thrilled. Why don't you tell us just a little bit about this conference?
Yeah, sure, Chris. G3 is a great conference. I've heard it described as a shepherd's conference for families. So, you know, unlike the shepherd's conference where it's just shepherds, just men who attend, the G3 conference is open to families. So husbands, wives, kiddos, everyone can come. And it's just a wonderful time. Very good, very sound speakers. And it's not just the speakers. I mean, that's, of course, the primary point of the conference, but just the fellowship. I think I could safely say for Andrew, who's with us, that one of the things that we enjoy as much as anything with the Shepherd's Conference is the fellowship that we have with each other for several days, and the same will be true at the G3 conference coming up in October. So I'm really looking forward to it.
Yes, actually September 30th through October 2nd in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday through Saturday. And the speakers include Stephen Lawson, Fody Balcom, Paul Washer, John MacArthur, Hensworth Jonas. If you've never heard Hensworth Jonas preach before, you've got to make sure that you hear him preach at some point, even if you go to sermon audio, but it'll never be the same if you are not hearing him live. He is a profoundly gifted man that is not quite that well known right now, but I am very confident he will be, just like my other dear friend, who's also a mutual friend of Hensworth, Conrad Mbewe. I am looking forward to seeing both of them. Conrad is also going to be there. Joel Beakey, another one of my favorite speakers of all time and writers. And the list goes on and on. You can hear the ads that we have been playing every day, who lists some of the speakers and all the details. Just go to g3conference.com to register or to find out more about the conference, g3conference.com. Before we go to some of the issues I know that you are itching to address about this theme that we have before us, Rome and the Charismatic Movement, there is another similarity, especially when you're talking about the Word of Faith Pentecostals. There is something in the history of the Church of Rome that many people might be surprised still exists. It did not die away with the coming and going of Martin Luther, who protested the sale of indulgences. They still remain with us. In fact, every time you purchase what is called a Mass card, if you are Roman Catholic, of course, and you purchase one of these cards for someone you love for a whole host of occasions, they will typically include a certain order of nuns that will be praying for you, and they're praying to limit your time in purgatory. Well, aren't the Word of Faith movement heretics in their sales pitches, their fund-driving campaigns, very much mirroring, even if it's unintentionally, the sale of indulgences that Tetzel became infamous for, terrifying people, that if they don't give money to the church, that they will spend a longer time in purgatory and their loved ones will spend a longer time in purgatory. And that, in fact, is how that giant castle in the Vatican, St. Peter's Basilica, that is how that building was purchased. Or should I say built. That was how that the funds that came from the sale of indulgences is how the basilica was built. But aren't there great similarities there, even if a Word of Faith Pentecostal might deny purgatory as a doctrine? The similarities are unquestionable, aren't they?
Without a doubt, Chris. Tetzel is famous, or rather infamous, for saying, "For every coin into the coffer rings, a soul from purgatory springs." So, in other words, with Roman Catholicism, the more money you give to the Roman Catholic Church, the faster mom or dad or grandma will get out of purgatory. Word of Faith has its own system of indulgences. You rightly point out that Word of Faith, by definition, because they are under the large umbrella of Protestantism, they would reject purgatory. But they have their own system of indulgences, and that is seed faith theology. Sow a seed, reap a harvest. And they promise you that the more seed, the bigger miracle you need, the more monetary seed you'd better sow. So if you are dying of cancer, for example, or maybe you have a child who is dying of cancer, so you need a big miracle, well, then you need to sow a big seed. You need to dig deeply and sow a lot of money. Give a lot of money to Benny Hinn or to Kenneth Copeland or to Andrew Womack or to Rod Parsley so you can reap your miracle. And so so they have it from not only that angle, but they also conversely say, kind of from the flip side of that, they'll say, if you want to protect your family from disaster, sow a seed. You know, if you want to protect your family in a recession, sow a seed. If you want to protect your family from disease or from the attacks of the enemy, whatever form they may come in, sow a seed. So it's the exact same thing. The exact same error and heresy as Roman Catholicism, just, again, packaged a little bit differently.
Now, the Word of Faith actually trumps the heresies of Rome in this area, because they actually do, in a sense, believe in purgatory, but the only person that ever was there was Jesus Christ. They believe that he went to hell and became the first born-again man there after being tormented in hell. Now, why do they believe that? Why do they, number one, believe that was necessary for him to be born again? And why do they even believe it was possible? Do they believe that he was not perfectly sinless and was not the God-man when he walked the earth and walked carrying the cross to Golgotha to be crucified? Don't they believe that he was the God-man during that whole time, including his conception in Mary's womb and the virgin birth and so on?
Yes and no. So they would not. They would not deny that Jesus was the God-man, but when they flesh out their Christology in effect does deny that Jesus is the God-man. And specifically what I mean by that is they believe that when Jesus was on earth, he completely divested himself of his deity. He laid his divinity aside. That's a direct quote, by the way, from Bill Johnson, the pastor of Bethel Church in Redding, California. Bill Johnson teaches this, Kenneth Copeland teaches this, Todd White teaches this, that Jesus laid his divinity aside and did all of his signs and wonders, not as God, but as a man in a right relationship with God. So he was just a man. He was God, but then when he came to earth, he emptied himself of his deity. And that's a heretical understanding of Philippians chapter 2, 6 and 7. Jesus did empty himself, but not of his deity. That's maybe it's a strong term, but a bastardization of that text. And so, so when Jesus died on the cross, he became sin, not just a sin offering, but he literally turned into sin, died on the cross, went to hell as a sinner, and had to be reborn, had to get saved. And so when Jesus was in hell and he was reborn, he became the first reborn man. And guess who you and I are? We are reborn men and women. And so therefore we are just like Jesus. And in their anthropology, we are just as much an incarnation as was Jesus of Nazareth. And that is also a direct quote. The Christian is just as much an incarnation as was Jesus of Nazareth. That's a direct quote from Essex Kenyon. Well, yeah, it's thoroughly heretical.
Can you quote that one more time?
Yes. The Christian is just as much an incarnation as was Jesus of Nazareth.
Unbelievable. I'm going to read a couple of questions before we return to questions of my own for you. We have Paul from the Sunshine Coast in Queensland, Australia, who says, "Please, sir, can you define what the Bible means by the gospel?"
Sure. I don't want to leave Andrew out of this either, but the gospel is, the word gospel, euangelion, means good news. We are sinners. We have broken the laws of God, and because we have sinned against God, the punishment of that sin is eternal because God himself is eternal. We cannot work our way into heaven. God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to this earth to live as fully God, fully man, perfectly sinless, lamb without blemish, and Jesus willingly laid down his life on the cross, and he bore the wrath of God that we deserve for our sins. Jesus bore and satisfied God's wrath on the cross, died physically, 3 days later, raised from the dead physically, proving himself to be who he said he was, God in human flesh. And the only way to be saved, to have the wrath of God removed from us, is to repent of sin and trust the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. His righteousness is imputed to us because we have none of our own. It's imputed to us when we repent of sin and trust Christ, his atonement, work of atonement on the cross.
Now, there has been, as I mentioned to you earlier before the show started, there has been some banter on the internet amongst charismatics who are claiming, who themselves are also soteriologically reformed, but their pneumatology would be non-cessationist, charismatic, whatever else way you'd like to describe that, continuist. But they have claimed, these reformed charismatics, or at least one of them in the conversation, was claiming that you deny the classic reformed ordo salutis, that regeneration must precede conversion, it must precede faith, because man could not summon up from his dead, stone-cold heart a faith that pleases God without first being born again, being regenerate. Would you say that you affirm that?
Of course. I'm always amused at what some people accuse me of. I told you in the break, one lady accused me of being a Jehovah's Witness, and I never cease to be amazed. But no, I mean, if you listen to my teaching, I'm very clear that both faith and repentance, faith in Christ and repentance from sin, both of them are in and of themselves granted to us by God. I don't absolutely believe in a monergistic view of salvation, that salvation is the mono, one, ergon, work, one work of God, that we are spiritual. ourselves, we can't even believe by ourselves. Our faith in Christ must in and of itself be granted to us by God, and repentance is granted to us by God. These are the gifts of God, both of them, and when God grants those, then genuine faith and genuine repentance will bear real fruit. The fruit that we bear will be evidence of the faith and repentance granted to us by God.
And those proceed from a truly regenerate person. In other words, the regeneration comes first, but instantly the signs of a regenerate person, faith and repentance, flow from that regenerate heart.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I hope that is clear enough. Yeah, for you have a question or a comment? Yes.
Well, yeah, let me make a comment on that, because many people are very confused when it comes to this topic. And a very helpful way that I have found for people to understand it is to start with something where both sides end up agreeing. Start with the doctrine of inspiration. Who wrote the book of Romans? People are going to say Paul. But if you ask them, they're also going to say God. Who really wrote it? Well, God wrote it. It's a doctrine known as superintending, that God wrote through the human author in such a way where God gets 100% of the credit. God did the work, but experientially, Paul wrote it. But what Paul wrote was exactly what God intended. We see this doctrine as well when it comes to our sanctification. You say, who does good works after we're saved? Well, you could say you do the good works, but realistically, theologically, God did those good works. God gets 100% of the credit for the good works that we do, even though we may, in our human thinking, we're doing them. God works through the human author to do exactly what he intends. And when we look at that and then apply that to regeneration, I find that makes it easier for people to realize what Justin was saying, that in Philippians 1:29, that it has been granted to us to believe. In other words, God gives this to us so that we can't do this on our own, but God works through the human so that experientially we think we chose God. Theologically, God gets 100% of the credit. He did all the work. And I think that usually helps people when they think about it in these other doctrines to see that there's this similarity there.
Yeah, but the people in question calling into question Justin's view would have already been reformed. They are reformed charismatics who are saying that he denied what you just said. So, in other words, we were not explaining this to Arminian listeners to try to get them to understand what it means. These were reformed people who are saying that Justin is not truly reformed. That's where that was coming from. And of course, in Romans 8, verses 8, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So therefore, obviously, if faith is something that pleases God, faith that is saving faith, if it pleases God, how can we have that if we are in the flesh? We must be born again first. And of course, that occurs instantly. The sign of faith and repentance flow instantly from the regenerate heart. I'll read one more question before we go back to some other questions of my own. We have Ezekiel in Nigeria who says, how could you uphold the Holy Spirit but assert that some of his gifts have ceased? I'm a Nigerian, but can name genuine charismatic continuationists in America that I know. Carter Conlon, who took over from David Wilkerson, both are genuine charismatics. Jim Cimbala of Brooklyn Tabernacle is genuine. John Piper, Sam Storms, Wayne Grudem, Francis Chan, David Platt, Terry Virgo, etc. are all genuine. I will name some Nigerians you may Google search to confirm their genuineness. I'm going to skip over that because I don't need to do that. We must not always take wrong people as the yardstick of measurement. Okay, well, there's a couple of things there. First is, he says, how can you uphold the Holy Spirit but assert that some of his gifts have ceased? I mean, all members of the Trinity have done things in the past that they do not do today. Isn't that true, Justin?
Yes, absolutely, Chris. And that's an argument that I hear quite often from charismatics, even some Reformed charismatics. Well, how can you say the the gifts have ceased. Now, as a cessationist, I say that only the apostolic gifts, the nine gifts, have ceased. All the other gifts, teaching, administration, exhortation, help, hospitality, all those gifts, very much in operation. Only the sign gifts have ceased. But they say, how can you say those gifts have ceased if Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever? That's kind of the argument. Well, as you just said, Chris, each member of the Godhead does things today that he did not necessarily do before, and vice versa. God made the Red Sea part, but he's not making seas part today. God made a donkey talk. I haven't seen any talking donkeys lately, and I hope nobody else has been seeing talking donkeys lately either. And the ultimate example of that is Jesus himself, his crucifixion. That was a one-time event. It certainly happened, but it's not to be repeated. And also using that logic, well, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so how can you say those gifts have ceased? Well, why aren't we doing animal sacrifices anymore today? Clearly, they were commanded in Scripture, obviously.
And why have there never been
sacrificing even goats?
There have never been any confirmed resurrections from the dead. There have never been any confirmed restored limbs that have been completely severed off, and other appendages on the body that have been severed off. There's never been one confirmation of a limb or a nose or an ear being miraculously placed back on the human being. You know, you could go on and on. They're not doing exactly the same things that were occurring in Jesus' day and in the apostolic era.
No, they're not. And one of the points that I like to make to people, if all of the sign gifts were still in operation today, then charismatics would not have to expend so much energy trying to convince us all that they are, because it would be manifestly obvious that they are. I mean, even the critics of Jesus, the critics of Christianity, the enemies of the gospel in the days of Acts, even they acknowledged in the days of Jesus' ministry and Acts, even they acknowledged that signs and wonders were being performed by Jesus, by the disciples. Everyone acknowledged that. It was patently obvious. No one could deny these legitimate signs and wonders. So why aren't those happening today? They simply are not happening today. They're not.
And how can, no proof, when it comes to the gift of tongues, so-called, if it is not the gift that occurred in the apostolic era, where people were speaking foreign languages they never learned to speak prior to the miracle occurring, if it is just,
that's right,
if it is just gibberish, for lack of a better term, sorry for offending anybody who affirms modern day tongues, but how could that be a sign when it is so easily faked, their version of tongues? It is not easily faked to speak a language that you never before learned, and therefore that would be a sign. That would be a miraculous sign. Saying Shantabara Hobra Kahla doesn't fit the bill for a sign, because anybody could do that. Some do it better than others, but it's something that could be faked easily. A little tiny child could fake it easily. How can that possibly be a sign? And it is interesting that I think all of the major Pentecostal denominations insist that tongues is the sign of the gift of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Am I not right?
Yes, that's exactly right, Chris. And tongues can be very easily faked. I can't tell you how many people I've talked to over the years who used to be in the charismatic movement, and they spoke in tongues and the gibberish, just like you just did. But God delivered them out of that, and they're full-blown cessationists. They are as cessationistic as I am.
Well, you've heard in the ads. In fact, I've got to introduce you to him. John Sampson is a dear friend of mine who does a couple of commercials for me.
Yes.
He was a pastor in the Word of Faith movement and a TBN talk show host in the Word of Faith movement, and now he is a complete cessationist and Reformed Baptist.
Yep, that's right. It's easy. You can learn how to speak in tongues. You can, and pagans do it as well. Hindus do it as well. Hindus speak in tongues in the exact same way that charismatics do.
And so there's even a Mormon. There's even a Mormon version of it.
Oh yeah, Mormons speak in tongues. A lot of them, not all of them, but a lot of them do. There's a number of pagan religions that speak in tongues. A lot of people do it. A lot of pagan religions do it, and they do it in exactly the same way that charismatics do. Unintelligible, ecstatic, gibberish. That's not the biblical gift of tongues or the gift of languages. The biblical gift of languages was someone speaking in a known human language. It just was a language not known to that individual. It would be like me, all of a sudden, instantly, being able to speak fluent Swahili. It's a known language. It's just not known to me. I don't know a single word of Swahili. But if I were to all of a sudden be able to speak fluent Swahili without ever having been had a single minute of instruction in it, then you're getting more into the biblical. That would be a true miracle. That would be a true sign. But that's not what charismatics do.
Okay, we have one more question that I'll read from a listener. Grady, a very faithful and loyal and generous listener in Asheboro, North Carolina. And Grady says, "Greetings, brothers. What is the best way to share the gospel with Roman Catholics? I have a cousin that's Catholic, and every time I try to share, he says that he's a Christian and knows there's differences between evangelicals and Catholics, but he's content with his beliefs." That's pretty much most people when you're trying to evangelize them. And it's interesting how, although this Catholic calls himself a Christian, it's quite fascinating that many Catholics will differentiate. But they'll say, "I'm a Roman Catholic and my brother's a Christian," you know, something like that. You know what I'm saying? They actually put them in two different categories. But if you could, before we go to the last break and continue with some of your other questions.
Yes, I would say you share the gospel with the Roman Catholic the same way you share the gospel with anyone else. That salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And Roman Catholics do not believe that. Roman Catholics believe you have to add works to your faith. And so if you're dealing with a Roman Catholic, ask them, "Do you believe that salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone? No works." In other words, if you believe that you contribute, if any of your works in any way contribute to your salvation, then you've trusted a different Jesus and a different gospel. So help that person, that Roman Catholic, to understand that salvation is not of works. It's solely by grace through faith. And if they acknowledge that, then you would, if that person is a genuine Christian, you would expect that person, in short order, to leave the Roman Catholic Church. As you said, Chris, there are some saved individuals in the Roman Catholic Church, but they're not saved because of what the Church teaches. They're saved in spite of what the Church teaches. Once they see what Roman Catholicism actually does teach, if that person is truly Christian, then the Holy Spirit of God who lives inside of them will deliver them out of that deception. They're not going to stay in the Roman Catholic Church. They will not stay in it. They will leave it. So if this person, you know, professes to be a Christian and a Roman Catholic, show them the error of the Roman Catholic Church and show them the truth of salvation by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And if they're truly Christian, then they will see that and they'll leave the Roman Catholic Church. They won't stay.
Yes.
And Chris, a real quick way for people to know, because some Catholics will deny that the Catholic Church teaches salvation by works, purgatory is the best example, because purgatory is a place they go to work off their sins. They can't hold to purgatory and say they don't have a works-based salvation.
And, of course, anybody listening, if they look up the Council of Trent's dogmas, it makes it clear that we are not saved by grace through faith alone. And they make it clear that works are not just a necessary evidence or fruit of a saved person, like we believe. They make it very clear in the Council of Trent, which are dogmas that must always be believed by Catholics. It's not one of those things that can change like for instance, celibacy in the priesthood. They acknowledge that priests were once married, and even popes, and they admit that there is a possibility that could return. But that is a difference. That's a discipline. It's not a dogma. And so, therefore, and wouldn't you say, both Justin and Andrew, that the Book of Galatians is an ideal place to go? I go there even when I'm trying to convince my ecumenical Protestant friends that Paul took it extremely seriously to add any work to faith in order for one to be considered a true Christian, so much so that he said that the Judaizers, who probably believed everything that he believed except for the addition of circumcision, he said the Judaizers had no gospel at all, that they should be accursed, and on we could go with the harsh language. Isn't that an excellent place to be digging in our heels, the Book of Galatians?
Go ahead, Andrew.
Yeah, I would say yes. I mean, Galatians is a condensed version of the Book of Romans, so it's very clear that the law, what Jewish people would hold to as for salvation, isn't going to save them. Galatians 2:20 and 21 make that clear. If you can be saved by the law, as Roman Catholicism teaches, then Christ's death is in vain. It wasn't necessary.
Well, we have to go to our final break, and if you want to join us, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these messages from our sponsors.
All hail the power of Jesus' name.
This is Pastor Bill Sasso, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Are you tired of looking for the silver bullet when it comes to health and wellness? Are you frustrated with the medical status quo, which masks symptoms and doesn't treat the root problem of sickness? More importantly, are you looking for one of the most unique books ever written, which gives you safe, low-cost, and proven options to regain your health the way God intended? Then look no further than my new book, Health for All of Life, a medical manifesto of hope and healing for the nations. Hi, I'm Jason Garwood, and I'm a husband, father, pastor, and writer whose passion for helping people led me to write this book. If 2020 has proven anything, it's that big pharma, big tech, and big government knows nothing about how to treat people naturally without poisoning them with synthetic drugs and experimental vaccines. But what if God has given us a better way? What if we can take the Christian worldview found in the Bible and apply it to health and wellness? My book, Health for All of Life, does just that. You can find this exciting new book on Amazon. Pick up a copy for yourself and for your friends and family. Give the gift of health and don't be a dead end to truth.
I'm Phil Johnson, host and executive director of Grace to You, the media ministry of John MacArthur. I hope you plan to join me and Chris Arnzen, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, for the G3 conference in Atlanta, Georgia, Thursday, September 30th through Saturday, October 2nd. The theme this year is Christ is Supreme Over All. My friend Chris Arnzen and I will be joined by several of our other friends, including Vody Balcom, Justin Peters, Daryl Bernard Harrison, Virgil Walker, and James White. More than 20 other speakers will be joining us, and the lineup this year includes my pastor, John MacArthur. For details, visit g3conference.com. That's g3conference.com. Chris Arnzen and I hope to see you September 30th through October 2nd at G3 2021. This is Phil Johnson reminding you that Christ is supreme over all.
Lynbrook Baptist Church on 225 Earl Avenue in Lynbrook, Long Island, is teaching God's timeless truths in the 21st century.
Our church is far more than a Sunday worship service.
It's a place of learning where the scriptures are studied and the preaching of the gospel is clear and relevant.
It's like a gym where one can exercise their faith through community involvement.
It's like a hospital for wounded souls where one can find compassionate people and healing.
We're a diverse family of all ages,
enthusiastically serving our Lord Jesus Christ
in fellowship, play, and together.
Hi, I'm Pastor Bob Waldman, and I invite you to come and join us here at Lynbrook Baptist Church and see all that a church can be.
Call Lynbrook Baptist at 516-599-9402. That's 516-599-9402, or visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's lynbrookbaptist.org.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nestle Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
When Iron Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005, the publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joe Moorcraft, pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Anthony Uvino, founder of TheReformRookie.com and co-founder of New York Apologetics, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tim Bushong of Syracuse Baptist Church in Syracuse, Indiana, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Eli Ayala, founder of Revealed Apologetics and staff member with the Historical Bible Society, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Josh Miller of Grace Bible Fellowship Church in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Joe Bianchi, president of Calvary Press Publishing in Greenville, South Carolina, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jake Korn of Switzerland Community Church in Switzerland, Florida, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to NASBible.com. That's NASBible.com to place your order.
I'm Dr. Tony Costa, Professor of Apologetics and Islam at Toronto Baptist Seminary. I'm thrilled to introduce to you a church where I've been invited to speak and have grown to love, Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, Long Island, New York, pastored by Rich Jensen and Christopher McDowell. It's such a joy to witness and experience fellowship with people of God like the dear saints at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Coram, who have an intensely passionate desire to continue digging deeper and deeper into the unfathomable riches of Christ in His Holy Word, and to enthusiastically proclaim Christ Jesus the King and His doctrines of sovereign grace in Suffolk County, Long Island, and beyond. I hope you also have the privilege of discovering this precious congregation and receive the blessing of being showered by their love, as I have. For more information on Hope Reformed Baptist Church, go to hopereformedli.net. That's hopereformedli.net. Or call 631-696-5711. That's 631-696-5711. Tell the folks at Hope Reformed Baptist Church of Coram, Long Island, New York, that you heard about them from Tony Costa on Iron Sharpens Iron.
We are excited to announce another new member of the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio advertising family, Banu Gotti, owner of three New York pharmacies, Lee's Drugs of Floral Park, Long Beach Chemists, and Prescription Center of Long Island in Hempstead. Banu Gotti earned a doctorate in pharmacy degree and is very knowledgeable on the current coronavirus pandemic. Please contact Dr. Gotti so he and his expert staff can give you proper guidance amid all the contradictory confusion we are all hearing in the media. To find the pharmacy nearest you, call 516-354-2000. That's 516-354-2000. Or order online at leesdrugsrx.com. That's L-E-E-S drugsrx.com. Don't forget to ask about their discount generic drug program.
Welcome back, and our guest today is Justin Peters, and our co-host has also been Andrew Rappaport, and we are wrapping up things. And Justin, you wanted to quote other words allegedly from the lips of Mary in Roman Catholic Marian apparitions, or in an apparition.
Yes, Chris. This is from Mary in her appearance in Fatima, Portugal in 1917. She allegedly appeared to three children in Fatima, Portugal. Again, 1917, so a little over a century ago, but she said this, quote, "I will take Jacinta and Francisco shortly." That's two of the children that she appeared to. "But you," referring to Lucia, I assume, other kid, "you will stay here for some time to come. Jesus wants to use you to make me known and loved. He wishes to establish the devotion to my Immaculate Heart throughout the world. I promise salvation to whoever embraces it." End quote.
Wow, that is
very
horrifying.
Yeah.
And one thing that we have to say, at least the more traditionalist Roman Catholics, those that are from the far right of Catholicism who are into the Latin Mass, now we disagree with them on multitudes of things and do not count them as our brethren, but they by and large reject the Medjugorje apparitions, and the Fatima apparition is what they uphold. So in other words, for Catholics to say that these apparitions could never be fake, well, even a wing of their own church rejects the Medjugorje apparitions. I don't know if you were aware of that.
Yeah. I was vaguely, not to that detail, but yes. Yeah. There's not complete uniformity amongst all Catholics, but you have some of your more militant and some of your more liberal. Of course, yeah, Pope Francis is refer to Pope Francis as the Joel Osteen of Roman Catholicism in a sense. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there's
I'd like you to just summarize now what you most want etched in our listeners' hearts and minds before the program ends.
Okay, Chris, sure. So we've been talking about the overlap between Word of Faith and Roman Catholicism. They both have heretical views of the atonement. They both have an extra source of authority other than that of Scripture. They both have an emphasis on signs and wonders, and they both teach the little gods doctrine. So there's a lot of overlap between these two heretical theological systems.
And, of course, many in the charismatic movement are just as vehemently opposed to the Word of Faith movement as we are.
Yes, there are some. Now, I would say, like this gentleman who asked the question earlier about, like, Aunt Sam Storms and John Piper, the sad reality is that, yes, Sam Storms and John Piper, men like that, Wayne Grudem, they would eschew the Word of Faith movement. They would rightly call it heresy just as strongly as we would. The problem, though, is that those kinds of guys, that's the fringe of the charismatic movement. The Sam Storms and the Wayne Grudems, that's the fringe. It's not the mainstream. That's the fringe. The mainstream of the charismatic movement is everything represented by Benny Hinn to Joel Osteen to Joyce Meyer to Kenneth Copeland to Bill Johnson. That's all of that is heresy. And sadly, that represents the great majority of the charismatic movement. It's the fringe that would see these things like we do.
Now, other than the G3 conference that you and I will both be attending and that where you will, along with 20 other speakers, be speaking, that would be September 30th through October 2nd in Atlanta, Georgia. Any other events that you are involved in coming up that you'd like to announce?
Well, my preaching calendar is on my website. People can kind of, they can see where I am from week to week on my website, justinpeters.org. But Andrew and I are hosting a trip to Israel later this year in October. And Andrew, the website for that is what again?
The website for that is IsraelTour2021.com. That's IsraelTour2021.com. It is about to sell out probably this week. And the price will go up if it doesn't sell out this week. The price does go up by $100 by the end of the month. Also, you and I will be at Beulah Baptist Church in Winter Garden, Florida, which is in the Orlando area. That's going to be May 7th, 8th, and 9th. That is going to be our session from the Flames Discernment Conference or seminar that we do. So. Yeah, and we're also going to be together at the Cruciform Conference in Indianapolis in June 3rd to the 6th.
Great.
And that's going to be in Indianapolis. Go to Cruciform Conference. Just search for that and you'll find it.
And also you could go to strivingforeternity.org or .com.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, Striving for Eternity.
Either one gets you there.
Great. strivingforeternity.org or .com. Well, I want to thank you both.
Actually, Chris, if you want a quicker way, you could just go to sfe.bible and that will get you there as well.
S as in striving, F as in for, E as in eternity, .bible.
Yep, that will get you there as well.
All right, well, I want to thank all you guys, or both of you guys, I should say, for being on the program today. I want to thank those who listened today, especially our two first-time questioners, Paul in the Sunshine Coast of Queensland, Australia, and also Ezekiel in Nigeria. Thank you for the questions. I want you all to always remember for the rest of your lives that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.